Welcome to another edition of the Clear Talk Podcast, a podcast by Solutions 360. Today I have with me Taufeeq Indawala, Director of Consulting for Solutions 360 and Navigate Management Consulting. How are you doing today, Taufeeq?
Doing great, Mac. Thanks for having me.
So today we want to talk about one of the more important topics of this generation of business, that being cybersecurity. I know at Solutions 360, we take cybersecurity very seriously. We do monthly security briefings and trainings through one of our partner programs. So today I just want to kind of do a quick fire questionnaire with you, Taufeeq. There's lots to cover, so I think this will cover the most ground most effectively.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So first thing that I've heard from our partners is what we're in a unique industry, being that it's so niche. What are some of the more common cybersecurity threats that are facing not only just businesses today, but maybe specifically with an integrator perspective?
Well, one of the major security threats are some of them are like phishing, ransomware, DDoS attacks, and IoT vulnerability. Majority of our customers and security integrators are putting more and more devices that are connected to internet. So that is actually becoming a major concern within the industry. So how do we protect all of this stuff within that infrastructure? Phishing attacks are very common, and ransomwares are very common. And we've seen this throughout many decades, but now they're getting more and more real in terms of how they mask data throughout that phishing and ransomware. So, you know, educating staff, as you said, on phishing, what it looks like, doing monthly briefing, even testing, really kind of allows us to put our guard up as to from cybersecurity and external threat. The threat might be coming from the outside, but in, you know, what allows it to have power is how you react from it internally. You know, are these email legitimate or not? So it's really important to be aware of what are the common threats and testing that throughout your organization.
Yeah, especially nowadays when a lot of people are still working remotely. You don't have everybody in like kind of a contained system where you can pull the plug quickly. So teaching your employees how to identify these problems and raise the flag themselves is critical.
Absolutely. You know, I give you an example in my previous history and even some of the other friends that I'm aware of. Within their work environment, they don't even have USB devices in the equipment that they have, just to prevent anything coming into the network that is not approved through that control. So there are a lot of different ways to prevent it. It's the level of you know, security that you need within that particular organization.
Okay, moving on to the next one. We've heard this concept being thrown around talks these days. Can you explain the concept of security by design in the context of developing and implementing ERP?
Yeah, so security by design is the forefront into the philosophy that goes into building any solution. So when we're talking about ERP system, we're talking about what is an ERP system. So we talk about the generic stuff, right? Like in terms of user permissions, which is what can the user do and not do. But what happens if the user doesn't have a permission, but there is somehow finds a special URL to get to that particular function that they shouldn't have access to? So how does that work? Then we're also looking at database and data storage as to how do we secure the data storage? How do we secure the communication between the front end to the back end? And, you know, can there be somebody, a listener in between trying to capture that data? So it's the end-to-end design thought as to how do we secure the functions within the ERP, securing the data and the storage and the transfer of data bilaterally from database to the client or client to the database. So this is what we mean by security by design, is that everything we look at is from a risk mitigation standpoint. Rather it be securing your code, securing the database, having the regular backup. Now, backup is also essential to security by design. One of the discussions I usually have with customers in terms of security by design or in terms of database backup is, what level of data is the company willing to lose? And that really opens up a lot of questions as to, well, what does that mean? We don't want to lose any data, but let's say you do. Because I've always had, you know, I take an approach that it's the data that you have and the data that you're about to lose. In that philosophy, what is that you look at? Is like, well, we can operate without any of our data, guaranteed. But, well, what happened if you lost 1 week of data? Is that acceptable? No. Well, then your backup window has to be shorter. But what if you lost 3 days of data? Is that acceptable? No. Well, now your backup data and backup has to be even a shorter window. So it's essentially how much data can you recreate at, from a point of time. So everything is from, you know, security by design, not just from a perspective of interacting with the ERP system, the data storage, the communication, but also the backup of all that data.
Okay, so security by design seems exactly as it is. It's more so a purposeful design to have security at the forefront instead of an afterthought. With AI becoming ever more powerful and easier to go around traditional methods of security, how do you see AI and machine learning technology offering new opportunities, challenges for specifically cybersecurity?
Well, there are challenges and opportunities with AI, right? AI is here to stay. It's been in there for a long time. We just didn't know it was AI that was doing a lot of this work. So let's take some examples. We've seen these videos of deepfakes, and as recently, there is now voice synthesizer where it can copy a person's voice and speech within matter of seconds. In, you know, you provide them a little clips and it can copy and synthesize, and you can now feed its statements and sentences, and it can, you know, output the voice within a person's real voice. We also recently saw reasoning demo by OpenAI, where, you know, a lot of these robot demos that were done, they're either sped up, they've been fed with pre-configured routines, and they would just kind of spill that back out, and they would speed up all that in terms of a recording and so on. But most recently, we saw over the last few months, there was a major revolution in terms of how speech-to-speech reasoning can be done with robots in real time. So what does all that mean with AI and cybersecurity? Well, now people can actually use that to penetrate businesses to do with that. They can automate the phishing attack. They can automate the DDoS attack. They can automate phone calls and ask questions like a real person and try to attack a business from a cybersecurity standpoint. But at the same time, you also have opportunities. So you can use the same AI technology and machine learning technology to put that within your organization for threat detection and improve predictive analytics to say, well, what is considered normal and not normal behavior. A great example of that is credit cards, right? Like I said, some of this stuff has been out there for decades. We just didn't know. If I go out and purchase something that's outside of my norm or in a different country, I get a phone call from my credit card company and say, is this real? Because they're using predictive analytics and AI and machine learning to identify things that are abnormal. So we can now use this technology within our business. It's just becoming more commercial for us to be able to leverage this data.
Moving past that, what are the best practices for managing and securing remote access?
Great question. As you know, from a cybersecurity standpoint, it's, you know, connecting there, we still need a highway or a pathway to connect within our business environment to do work. So, you know, we have to look at how do our staff connect within a business environment? So, you know, very typical, we want to put in VPN systems so that the way to access business resources is through a VPN, which is, you know, it could be encrypted and it could have a two-factor authentication and so on. having a single point of access control. So meaning you have a single sign-on practice where you don't have multiple different passwords to get into multiple different system, which again, more systems, more passwords, more logins means looser security. So by having a single sign-on, it really allows us to bind down the way individual access our network. Now, when we talk about remote access, there's another element of it. So for example, a lot of our customer system integrators also have details about remote access to their end customer. How do they access to their network? How do you keep that information secure? What systems do you adopt? And what kind of audit do we have to secure that information? What are our process to store that information? What are our policies to store that information? So those are things that has to be considered in terms of best practice for remote access, not only for within our business resources, but also to our customers' resources.
Excellent. So we've kind of encompassed a lot of different aspects of cybersecurity, and we could make a checklist for each employee to go down to make sure that they're following the protocols, et cetera. But how do you really get your employees to, one, understand how easy it is for a company to be breached, two, get them to understand the importance it is of good cybersecurity, and foster kind of like a general culture around wanting to take the steps necessary to provide a safe environment for your customers to operate in?
So regular training and awareness programs are one of the best ways to bring that culture within a company. You know, talk about use cases, talk about news articles, share those news articles of things around cybersecurity. So talking about those things on an active basis and having that continuous improvement in cybersecurity posture is important. And the way you do that is regular training. In the earlier in the podcast, you mentioned us working with a partner to have that monthly briefing. So those are really great examples where you have LMS, which allows you to have employees and staff take courses, you know, short 2-minute, 3-minute courses or videos that allows them to understand what's going on within cybersecurity, what can create holes within the security, even doing phishing tests, right? Like send out fake emails that's asking for information and see who clicks on it and who reacts to those things and running reports on it and making people aware, not as an individual person, but as a company saying that, you know, out of X number of staff, we had, 3% failure. And some compliance on those things. And that just makes people a little bit more aware. We're not saying that everybody should have a tinfoil hat on their head and just be very paranoid, but it's really just to be aware of making or identifying what would be considered a phishing attack or what could be a spam phone call asking for information that they shouldn't have and so on.
All right, Taufiq. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today about cybersecurity, what people can be doing about it. We've also brought up a lot of things that we can probably just discuss in later podcasts. I'm sure there'll be more than enough time to elaborate on the ever-evolving problem that is cybersecurity, especially with AI becoming what it is so quickly. So thank you again, and we'll see you guys next time on the Clear Tech Podcast.
All right. Thanks, everyone.